edge in ways she didn't think possible. Avery would like to be all backbone, but she is tender flesh, too. 2 years after Avery was born, their parents had Bonnie. Bonnie is soft-spoken and strong-willed. Her language is the language of the body. By 6, she could walk on her hands. By 10, she could juggle 5 tangerines at a time. She tried both ballet and gymnastics, but she never fit in among that flock of flexible, feminine girls. When she was 15, their father bought her a pair of boxing gloves after she punched a hole in her bedroom wall, and she found her true form. Bonnie discovering boxing is probably how other people felt when they discovered sex. So this is what all the fuss is about. Bonnie worships at the altar of discipline. After silently watching her older sister's adolescent decline, she vowed never to touch a drop of alcohol. Her drugs of choice are sweat and violence. This got her all the way to the IBA Women's World Boxing Championships, the highest level of amateur competition in the sport, alongside the Olympics, where she won silver in the lightweight division before turning pro. Unexpectedly, given her sport of choice, Bonnie is the gentlest of her sisters. She can get ice out of the tray without bashing it on the counter. Babies and dogs trust her instinctively. She is a terrible liar. Though her body is like a vaulted oak door, her nature is transparent as a window. Now 31 years old, and in what should be her fighting prime, Bonnie has quit both New York and boxing after a devastating defeat in her last fight. She fled to Venice Beach, Los Angeles, where she took a job as the bouncer of a dive bar. Most people go through life never knowing what it's like to have a calling, one that asks you to sacrifice the pleasure of the moment for the potential of a dream that may not be realized for years, if at all. It sets you apart from others, whether you want it to or not. It can be grueling, lonely, and punishing, but if it really is your calling, it is not a choice. This is how boxing felt to Bonnie. And yet, right now, you can find her in some back street of Venice, collecting empty pint glasses, helping tipsy women into the backs of cars, and sweeping up cigarette butts, with no trace at all of the anarchic, iron-hearted warrior she was trained to be. Their parents wanted a son next, but after 2 miscarriages never spoken of again, they had Nicole, known always as Nikki. Of all the girls, Nikki was the most girl. She could blow a bubble as big as her head. She listened to teen pop into adulthood without irony. Her favorite hobby as a child was raising caterpillars to become butterflies by feeding them tiny pieces of squash. When she was 10, she bought her first underwire bra just so she'd be ready. She'd had 5 boyfriends by the time she graduated from high school. She liked to pick out a week's worth of outfits in advance, including underwear to match. She could apply a perfect cat eye with liquid liner in a moving taxi without smudging the flicks. Nikki was always popular with boys, but she had a knack for female friendship. She joined a sorority in college, a fact her sisters ruthlessly teased her for, but she didn't care. Her sisters were often busy with their own careers, and she missed them, so she made a family of her friends. If Avery was sensible and Bonnie was stoic, Nikki was sensitive. She was a carnival of feelings she never tried to hide. Sometimes she was the ecstatic swirl of a carousel. Sometimes she was a bumper car collision. Sometimes she was the still target waiting in the shooting gallery. She was born to be a mother.